A reading from Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. O Lord, have mercy on us." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. When does the service start? Does it start when Jeremy plays the prelude? Does it begin when the acolyte lights the candles? Does it begin when we sing the first hymn? All of these are good guesses. And if you asked me this question 5 years ago, I'd probably say one of those things. But the service begins with the invocation. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then y'all say, Amen. Which is Hebrew for, I agree. Or, what you've said is also what I say. We begin worship in the name of the triune God, which he gave to each of you on the day you were baptized. St. Paul writes, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. On that day, you were made one with the life and death and resurrection of Jesus forever." But here, you who individually were made sons of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, here you come together in that holy name, as Jesus directs us to rejoice in his presence. For he says, where two or three are gathered, there I will be among them. Jesus is here present in the words spoken and preached. And on Sundays, in the supper. The name of God is properly used, Martin Luther writes in his small catechism, when we speak his words back to him, when we speak his words to one another, when we receive his gifts in this place, when we praise him and glorify him in worship and prayer. On the top of the Galilean hill in 33 AD, the apostles gathered all together in the spot that Jesus pointed them to. Remember, he says, go and meet me in Galilee after I've risen from the dead. And when they saw Jesus, who is now resurrected from the dead, they worshiped him, which is very cool to see. There's no doubt this is God because they're worshiping him. And they're worshiping him all together. And another thing that's cool to see is it says, although some doubted. So you can worship Jesus while still having doubts. It's very human. But Jesus says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So Jesus gives the church the gift of baptism in the name of the Trinity, and he links it to his teaching and instructs all of us to teach the people that we meet out there about Jesus and the scriptures. And if, say, you're an adult, you'll be taught about the faith before you're baptized. And if you're an infant, you're baptized, and then you're taught about the faith. Baptism and teaching is always linked. On top of all of that, we have this awesome promise that when we begin our service with the invocation, we remember our individual baptisms where we were forgiven and saved, and the common teachings of Jesus and his word that we were truly united with here in his church have become ours. Baptism and invocation are a front bookend to the triune benediction at the end of the service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so, when this church is or has encountered some sort of controversy or conflict, Jesus gives the remedy. He lays out very specific instructions and simple instructions to follow toward reconciliation, Jesus' goal, right? So he came from heaven to earth to reconcile us with God and to reconcile us with one another. He wants us to gather in the triune name of God, reconciled, centered around the true teaching of his scriptures. The true teaching of the scriptures that we are baptized into, signed and sealed with his name. Then and only then, Jesus says, can there be two or three gathered in his name. Two or three reconciled by Christ's teaching in that holy name where Jesus is among them. So I stand up here next to the baptismal font at the beginning of the service. Often I'll dip my fingers into the baptismal font. And I, along with all of us, we can remember our baptisms. We remember the first place that the triune God became publicly present in you, in all of us, when you were saved, when you were forgiven, when you were set free, when you were made a son. In this specific way, Jesus declares, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In this way, by his presence in the divine service, or whenever you invoke his triune name, you can begin with this simple prayer, in the name of dot, 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 anywhere. Before you read the Bible, in the morning, at night, before you go to bed, before you go to work and begin your work, before you begin a meeting at church, you can be assured of God's presence by invoking his triune name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, this is where the sign of the cross comes in, right? I get it. The 20th century was a scary place. I myself was taught that only Roman Catholics make the sign of the cross. And so, boy, was I surprised and confused when my parents brought me to confirmation class and they gave me a little blue book, right? Luther's Small Catechism. And I opened it up, and in the instructions for morning and evening prayer, Dr. Luther tells us, in the morning when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Boy, was I surprised. I can't believe it. It said it in there. And I meant to have more props for the sermon, but I have on my desk, I have one from 1910. I have one from 1947. I have one from the one that I had, I think from the 80s. I have the one from mid-2000s. I have the new one. They all say that. What in the world? This is one of those things that we can truly say, this is just a Christian thing to do. It doesn't matter if you're Roman Catholic or Methodist or Lutheran or Baptist or whatever. The sign of the cross is something blessed that you can make. But the reason I bring it up is for your comfort. If doing this scares you, then you don't have to do it. I hope, though, that the context and history that I gave you does make you feel better when other people do it around you. If it simply never occurred to you, the reason why we do make that sign of the cross over ourselves is not to do some sort of dead ritual or because we're weird, right? Only I'm weird. The reason why I and other Christians do this is to comfort ourselves. Because when we make the sign of the cross over ourselves, we begin a sacramental process that will last throughout the service. This is the first physical action linked to Christ's words and promises from the Bible that begin to draw me out of myself during this service, that start to draw me out of my thoughts, out of my worries from the week, out of my feelings. It draws me and my focus out of myself to the words that I'm saying, to the words that the pastor, if I'm on vacation or whatever, that he's saying, away from my thoughts and emotions and feelings and to the words. That's the goal. And so during baptism, focus and attention is drawn outside of your thoughts and feelings to the physical water that you feel connected to the words of promise. In the Lord's Supper, your focus is drawn outside of your thoughts and feelings to the taste of the wafer and the wine, the body and the blood on your tongue, so that you can focus on those words, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And that's what's cool about going to a sacramental church. When you're sad or upset, when you're tired because you're about to go to bed, or you're tired because you just woke up and you need to say your prayers, when you're so happy, you feel like you're floating around on cloud nine and you can't focus on anything, you can draw your attention away from your anxious worries, your elatedness. You can reground yourself, link your body and soul back together by crossing yourself in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When I first started doing this for the first time around 2019, it was new, it was cool, and it was scary, right? Mom and Dad hated it. But it was fun. Because the faithful everywhere, in all times, do it. And did it. You see people on TV doing it. You see people in cartoons doing it. You see people in paintings do it. You see people in the Middle East doing it. You see people in China doing it. It's something that brings us together. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I do a funeral with strangers, sometimes there's hundreds of people there, and I've never met them before. And then I go up front, it's completely dead silent, and I'm asked to pray or start the service, and I say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, everyone does it. And the ice is broken. When I do the prayer for the city council or the village council meeting, people I've never met all immediately cross themselves when the triune name is invoked. It's wonderful, right? And there's so much that divides these days, especially in the church, but no matter what, who, and where, Christians are united in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So when I did start to do this in 2019, I did it to emphasize the link between the name of God, the cross, and my baptism. I would imagine warm water being poured over me at each name. And in that way, my link to my baptism was solidified. It became something I remembered again and not something in the past. I could remember the exact moment that I was saved forever, made God's son. It was wonderful. It still is. And by the way, if crossing ever does feel too Roman Catholic, you can just do it the other way. And that's what they do in the East. So if you've ever met like a Greek Orthodox or a Russian Orthodox, they don't do this. They do this. And then there you go. You're not Roman Catholic anymore. One last note. If I ever say something different than what the rite says, so say, you know, it's a difficult morning and, I don't know, baby was crying and that kind of thing. And I'm drowsy and I say, we begin in the name of, or if I truncate it and say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please tell me. I don't want to introduce doubt in anyone's mind by going beyond Christ's simple words in Matthew 28. I would never want to imply that God is dependent on our prayers or actions to be present here. What I simply want us to remember and know is that you are clothed in Jesus Christ's righteousness. When you stand before your judge on the last day, you need not worry because you are clothed and covered, robed, in Jesus' purity. And when you cross yourself during the invocation, you're reminded of that. Already now, in this heaven on earth that we call worship, we can stand with boldness and confidence before our triune God, who has claimed us and named us in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.